Welcome to the show, where country music's biggest stars share their stories, and the hits keep coming.
Hey, y'all, it's Lainey Wilson.
Hey, everybody, it's John Party.
Hey, guys, it's Jordan Davis.
And you're listening to DJ Chris Armstrong.
You're listening to DJ Chris Armstrong.
DJ Chris Armstrong.
This is Country Conversations with your host, DJ Chris Armstrong.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. I'm looking forward to having you over in Belfast on the 18th of February. But how's things going in the life and the world of Drake White?
Man, everything's good. We got a little boy that just turned 3, working on some music right now, playing a couple of shows to start the year, and then we're blasting off. Got some good tours lined up, obviously, coming over there. Just looking forward to another great year and a building year. And 2025 was really tough in multiple ways, but it was really, really rewarding as well. And we continued to build. So I can't complain. Everything's going really good.
Very good. If we go back to the start then, really, doing my research, I find that then obviously you're in your church choir, and sort of from the age of 14, you kind of get into sort of putting words down on sheets and putting things out there. Would you still have that sort of faith then? Would you still be a big sort of church attender?
Church attender, yeah. I think it's funny that's kind of the fact that the whole church choir is mentioned is funny to me, because that was such a brief little thing. People have this, you know, thought about what church choir, like my dad was in the choir, my grandfather was a preacher, and so the first musical experiences I had was in church, yeah, as many people's in the South and then in the United States are. Yeah. But for me, you know, yeah, my spiritual walk is very, very big to me, in more ways than one. But I've also, you know, we also get the chance to go to 120 cities a year, so there's a roundedness to that. You know, it's not necessarily what you would think, maybe the what you would think that statement says. There's a lot to it, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I grew up in a church, like a Presbyterian church here at home, and
cool.
I think we've been there for like 7 generations. We've been there for a while, and there's, yep, a bit of history there, you know, but. The same with gigging as well. It's you're out and about, and it's hard to get time. You just got to make your own time and have that faith. And faith's a personal thing anyway. You know, it's between you and the big man. You know, so
yeah, I think so. It's played a big role in my recovery and going through all the stuff that I've went through. It's definitely a big part of my music, a big part of everything. You know, but just being honest with it and understanding, I'm definitely not perfect. I've been through some crazy stuff, and I just kind of put it out there, vulnerable wise, and I think that's helped me as a writer, helped me to be relatable as an artist.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what our shows have turned into. You know, it is kind of a bit of a revival that you can drink a whiskey at, or you know, it's a bit of a revitalization of the soul, if you will. You know, I've been through a lot of stuff, and I've came out the other side still intact, and I could not have done that without the help of my faith and the help of my friends and family and just all the fruits of the spirit, really. So yeah, it's a big deal.
Very good. I know from listening to your music, even your lyrics, even your vocals are very emotive. You know, they make you think about stuff, you know, where they make the hairs on your arm stand up just sit and listen to you, you know. So I think it's quite a nearly like a spiritual moment too, you know.
Yeah, I think life throws a lot at you. And some of my favorite songwriters, you know, I wanted to sing with that soul. What I do is soul country.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that a lot. And being from around Muscle Shoals, being around in North Alabama, where I'm from, you know, the great soul singers, Aretha Franklin, you know, Ray Charles, you know, even your country, great country storytellers like, you know, Guy Clark and Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and all these guys, they live such hard lives.
Yeah.
So how you can't really sing about these things with as much conviction as Aretha Franklin has, if you haven't been through that. You know, I know there's some young soul singers out there that are like, man, they sound like they're 100 years old and been drugged through the streets. Uh-huh. So there are exceptions. But for me, I've always wanted to be a writer of the truth and a writer of experience. And so I live my life and then write about that experience. And so I think that comes with an authority when you've been through a near-death experience. You've seen angels in the corner of the room. You've fought your way back through paralysis and being paralyzed and having to learn how to walk again. You fought your way through infertility and been an absolute puddle of mud in your wife's arms and had to help, you know, use the bathroom at 35 years old. So, I mean, going through all this stuff, this life, and then telling somebody, hey, man, I made it through it, and here's how. Here's this song. That's very rewarding when somebody comes to me and is like, hey, this song helped me through this time.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here now. You know, that is why I'm here. That's why I'm coming over there. And we're going to have a good time. I got songs like Mixing with Whiskey, and I get rowdy. I'm still the rough around the edges Alabama country guy. Mm-hmm. But, man, God really showed me the light through the darkness. And I was at a very, very dark time and didn't really consider suicide, but I definitely understood suicide. I understood these dark things, and music, prayer, friends, spirituality, and just realizing that life was bigger than me helped me through all that.
Yeah. Country music, there's songwriters at the minute, you know, and they're just writing, it's like a production line, you know, they're putting out songs just to ring the bell, tick the box, get the check at the end of the week. Whereas, like you say, if you've lived it and came through it, I think it's much more, well, I use the word already, but it's much more emotive. I think it's more genuine. So I think you can tell that from your music as well. So hats off to that.
Well, thank you.
Tell me about Geppetto, first of all, before I go too far into the future. I think it was your first taste of maybe a little bit of on stage.
Oh man, you've got a really old document in front of you. Like Geppetto was the high school band. I wasn't a member of that band. That was just the first time that I'd realized some friends of mine, you know, seventh, eighth grade, ninth grade, some older guys had started a band, and basically the lead singer had kind of a scratchy throat, and we were hanging out and Black Crowes, She Talks to Angels, they started playing it. And I got the courage up to start singing it and hooked up with the older cheerleader and was like, man, that was easy. So that was the first kind of spark in eighth, ninth grade that music was a part of me that I didn't even know.
Yeah. I'm a DJ, really. I do a lot of country gigs, but so I'm not a massive singer, although you could hear me in the shower. That's a different story. But I remember doing a bit of karaoke on my honeymoon in the Caribbean, on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship, and I sang Johnny Cash, and I got a little bit of applause as I went and sat down. I don't know if they applauded me leaving the stage or applauding the singer, but it felt good. It felt good.
Yeah.
But, so 2014, you signed with Dot Records then. So I suppose that was, and then you've obviously done your own thing under your own label as well. But 2014, what's that, 12 years ago? Have you noticed a massive change in country music in that sort of 10 to 12 years?
Oh man, I mean, everything changes all the time in music. This business is changing every day, and I know that's a cliche, but it literally changes from year to year. Mm-hmm. And you know, I am battle tested through the industry. This is what I do. You know, I'm a songwriter, and being here and going through what I've been through is just all part of it. So you'll never hear me really say anything bad about, you know, my experience. I have definitely taken the scenic route to stardom, as they would say, like if you want to call what I'm doing stardom. But people ask me, what advice would you give a young songwriter, a young artist? Well, brother or sister, you know, just make sure that you really, really love it, because the act of singing and performing is 10% of it, maybe 10. And, you know, of course you got to be talented. Of course you got to be good, but like you got to be smart in living through all these things. It's not necessarily how you can hit the notes or how you can write the songs. It's just having that tough skin of like, no, this is what I'm going to do because this is what God put me on earth to do. Yeah. And you're not going to get the accolades. You're not going to get the applause all the time, but I don't do it for that. I do it for now showing people the light, you know, through the darkness. I do it for helping people get out of their, you know, 9-to-5 workspace of like, maybe just letting them think outside the box or escape reality for a second, or maybe they're going through chemo or they're going through Parkinson's or they're going through a divorce. Maybe that I can help them escape, and or maybe I can give them just a little bit of ray of hope. It's like, you know what? This life is worth living. You know, back up off the ledge, tie a knot in the end of your rope, and just hang on. Just hang on to what we got, because life is worth living, and this music might show you that, or it might just rip you apart and show you how sad you are. That's the beauty about music. It's scintillating conversation, and it's evoking thoughts and feelings to people. It's all subjective, and this is what I do. I'm going to do it until the day I die, because that's why God put me on this earth. So I think that's my statement to the industry, and that's always been my statement.
Yeah.
The industry does not dictate what I do, what Drake White does, or what XYZ artist does. They you look at them and you listen to them, but you know, I'm going to be led by the spirit. You know, I'm going to be led by my heart, by my gut, and what songs stick out to me. And I think that that's why I'm still here. That's why I'm 16, 17 years later, I'm still here. And this is my shoot. I've been over, you know, I've been across the Atlantic seven times now to, you know, started out with C2C out there with Stapleton and Lyle Lovett and Brothers Osborne and those guys, and
yeah,
we've built fan bases over there, and it shows.
I was at Country to Country, C2C, back in 2019. I was taking photos for a local radio station, and I think you actually shared one of my photos on your social media at the time. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That was about a number of weeks or a month or two before your incident with the stroke on stage.
Yeah, that was basically the last big tour. 2019 was the last big tour over there before I did have the stroke. You know, I can't remember what month we were over there, but yeah, we were bouncing around, making some headway, making some good moves. And then, you know, right after the stroke, I had an AVM that ruptured on stage in Roanoke, for those listeners that don't know, mm-hmm. and it completely paralyzed my left side. And now my music is a lot about, you know, the experience out of that.
Yeah.
But like I said, we also have the party songs and the fun songs. But right after that, the pandemic ensued. And, you know, coming over there from Nashville or from America was really tough. So there was a couple of years where a lot of European fans and people tuned into, you know, our live streams, and we just kept it going because we kept doing live streams through 2020 called Wednesday Night Therapy. And we did it every Wednesday night. We played 88 shows through that. Mm-hmm. But man, I'm sitting here because of those people, because of my fans and the fire starters that stuck with me through all of that. And that's why we're coming back over there. I tell people all the time, I'm a nomadic spirit, and I want to continue to water those seeds that we've started over there. So that's why we're coming back. It's because people are demanding it. So I can't wait to get back over there.
That's fantastic. I remember like back during COVID time then, like you say, whenever like there was people who were emerging at that point, just coming out of the woodwork in terms of their careers. And then that happened and it kind of nearly all fell by the wayside for some people. So I think you've done well to persevere through that as well and keep that momentum going and to continue to build on that, even from your side of the water. So yes, like you mentioned, you're coming over here. So you're in Belfast on the 18th of February, London the 20th, Manchester the 22nd, and Glasgow on the 24th. Have you much in store for us? Have you much of a plan put together yet for your stage show, or what's the thoughts behind that?
Well, you know, we're just going to be performing songs that, you know, off the most recent record, but we're going to perform, you know, Making Me Look Good Again, Living the Dream, those songs, of course. But this show has became, you know, it's still that energetic kind of soul country, ramble rouser, funk soul show. kind of James Brown was Appalachian type show, but it's there's a tinge of like this thing of I've made it through death. You know, I actually dodged a bullet and dodged death. And so there's songs like that, like Giants and Hurts the Healing, Waiting on the Whiskey to Work. You know, there's songs that tell that story. And if there's one thing that I know coming over there, you guys love a story and you'll listen. And that's why I think we're making waves over there. You know, I mean, we've had some 1500 and 2000 people crowds over there, you know? So I think, as people hear this, tell your friends and your dogs and your neighbors. I mean, buy a ticket, tell a friend. Even if you haven't heard of us, this is a straight up soul, country, funk. You know, everything from James Brown to Willie Nelson and back to gospel, soul roots music. You know, and I've been through a lot of stuff that I can't wait to tell y'all about.
Fantastic. I honestly think your shows for any, like, no matter where you sit on the country music fence, I think you'll go to your show and you'll enjoy every minute of it. And I'm looking forward to it myself, to be fair. So that's great. So it's Nights on Fire, your most recent single then. You've had a little EP out there as well, Scattered, Smothered, cover Ring. Well, you've got a great cover on there of Ring of Fire. I love the voice on that and the twang as well. It's, again, emotive. I love that cover. And then you're working with Reed Houghton?
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Reed Houghton, we released a song, The Wheel. Our, you know, independence has, I'm just doing what I want to. You know, I mean, one of those songs is a Billie Eilish song that we covered on Scattered Smothered Covers.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Scattered Smothered Covers is a Waffle House. If y'all ever been to a Waffle House, I know that's not a thing over there, but it's a reference to how I grew up. And that the reason you see all these songs were related. We just released a song called Tradition. Nights on Fire is a song that I wrote that I love, but then the covers just coming out of nowhere was just something that I wanted to do. So we went and did it,
you know.
And I mean, that is a Billie Eilish song, Birds of a Feather, mm-hmm. A Johnny Cash song, like you said, and a Teddy Swim song.
Yeah.
And people were like, why did you do that? Well, because I can, you know, because I can. And it's, those are great songs. And I just wanted to showcase my love of them. And so it's fun to create. Creators create, writers write, players play. So that's what we're doing.
That's great. I'm looking forward to the show. And then finally then, so you've been on the road, obviously you're coming over yourself this time, but you've been on the road with the likes of Riley Green, Jimmy Johnson, Blackberry Smoke, even the Zac Brown Band as well. Do you enjoy the big tours and hanging out with the guys, or do you prefer to do your own thing, or is it a bit of both?
I like to say a rising tide floats all ships. You know what I mean? I love being out there with Zac Brown. I love being out there, with Riley. I love it all. And they're all very, very different. They all prop up. I always say that, you know, the Jimmy Buffett parrot head world, rest in peace to Jimmy Buffett, but like the fan base that he built, like I've been privy to look inside of that and how he built that. So how I'm building the Firestarter is very much the same. So you take all, I call it wood, stacking wood, mm-hmm. Putting another log on the fire. Zac Brown tour does that. A Riley Green tour does that. Jamie Johnson tour does that. Blackberry Smoke does that. It stacks the wood to do the independent headlining stuff. And of course I want to come headline O2 Arena and pack it out. And we will do that one day because that is in my vision. But all those things join in the rising tide floats all ships, and it stacks that wood to where you can build your own fire. And, you know, I'm 16 years into it. So some people would say, well, why are you still opening? Because that's the path. That's the path that God chose for me. And so I'm on this path. I'm thankful to be on it. Come see us in a little bit of a smaller venue, because I believe we'll be in O2 at one time. I'm self-proclaiming that. I'm manifesting that as we speak. So I'm a believer in that.
I agree with that. You've got to put in the work. Like Kip Moore has been coming back and forward to the UK for a long time now as well. And I even think you wouldn't hear as much about him in the USA, whereas over here he's got a great big following, and Australia as well. But again, he started off small and just kept chipping away and building it up. And the last time he was here, he was in the SSE arena here in Belfast. So, no, definitely there's method to what you're doing. And I believe in my heart that you're on the right path and it's going the way it should be. So I appreciate your humility. I appreciate your time. And thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
See
you. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Country Conversation with DJ Chris Armstrong. We hope you enjoyed today's show.
I love the show, guys. You're awesome.
For more information and updates, make sure to follow DJ Chris Armstrong on Facebook and on Instagram at DJ_Chris Armstrong.
I always follow him.
Make sure to stay up to date with the latest episodes on Spotify, Amazon, DJChrisArmstrong.com, and more.
It's all online.
On the web.
Until next time, take care.